Today's reading is taken from the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. It can be found in the church Bibles on page 1181. That's Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Well, a very good morning to all of you. It's an interesting question we've got in front of us this morning. What film should I watch? And as we look at this verse together, we're really going to just focus on verse 8. But as we do that, we need God's help to give us hearts that are ready to be changed, minds that are alert. So let us bow our heads and pray before we have a look at this together. Father in heaven, we thank you that you are a just and righteous God, a holy God. And Father, we are aware that we are unholy. We are sinful. But Lord, we thank you that you sent Christ Jesus to make us right before you. Lord, we thank you that you have the ability and have extended the offer of forgiveness for those who turn to Christ in faith. So Father, as those who have turned to Christ, we come to your word now expecting you to show us how you would have us live in your world, how you want us to follow you, how you want us to think. And so Father, please prepare our minds and our hearts for what we're about to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. So Friday night is film night. At least it is for many anyway. I wonder if you know this feeling. It's Friday night. You've had a long, busy, and stressful week at work. You know you don't have to go back there for another couple of days. So it's time to relax and unwind. And what better way to do that than with a good film? You feel like you deserve it. It's time for you to escape into another world. You've earned it. In fact, you feel you owe it to yourself to do something just for you. You've worked so hard all week for those people out there. And now it's time for a bit of me time. Of course, family and circumstances permitting. You want to watch something that's going to take your mind off the strains and stresses of the week. Do you know that feeling? Now, I know lots of you are thinking, well, my life doesn't follow that pattern. Maybe you work shifts, or maybe with the business of family life, you think, man, if only Friday night was film night. If I could just get to the end of the week, sit down, put my feet up, and pick whatever film I wanted to watch, that'd be great, but that's not really me. But I think the truth is that many of us sit down to watch films as a way of relaxing, as a way of escaping, as unwinding, whenever we might have the opportunity to do that. Now, the question we look at this morning is, what film should I watch? When you do flop down into your favorite spot on the sofa and you fire up Netflix or Amazon Prime, what film will you choose? As you look through the TV guide or what's coming up, what will you plan to watch? What DVD will you buy? What cinema film will you go and watch? As thinking Christians, we need to be asking ourselves, what film should I watch? Now, maybe you're sitting here thinking, oh, I'm going to get it off this morning because I don't really watch films, so this isn't really relevant to me. And you're thinking, I'm just going to sit back, take a bit of a nap, and let them worry about films because that's not my thing. I want you to know that the principles we're going to be looking at apply to all media that we consume. And all of us consume media in one form or another. Maybe it's books that you like. Maybe you like to listen to things on the radio. Maybe you like reading the newspaper or blogs or watching TV shows rather than films. I mean, these days, most people watch box sets and stuff like that. We watch all sorts of things. So as we come to Philippians chapter 4 with the question, what film should I watch? Well, it can really answer the question, what should I listen to? What should I read? What should I watch? So come with me to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, where Paul writes this. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. As Paul comes to the end of this letter to the Christians in Philippi, he closes with some final instructions. And in this verse, he's telling them what to occupy their minds with. Think about such things. And he gives a list of 8 things they are to think about. Now, when we sit down to watch a film or consume any media, we're going to spend our time thinking about the content of what we're watching. And the films that we watch influence the way that we think. See, in the moment, as you're watching a film, our minds are occupied with what's going on in front of us. So in a very immediate sense, they influence what we think. But films go beyond that, and they actually have a powerful way of being able to shape our thinking in wider ways. And sometimes it's very obvious, other times it's much subtler. Let me give you a couple of examples from my own experience. Has any of you seen Saving Private Ryan? I can see some nods and some hands. The opening scenes are of soldiers landing on Omaha Beach as part of the Normandy invasion. If you watched it in a cinema, it is a truly horrific scene as man after man goes headlong into bullets and they fall dead in the sand. Watching it as a teenager, that movie had an impact on me. It changed my view of war and my understanding of war in a way that has a lasting impression. Now, the other times, there was a time when I probably watched one too many romantic comedies. And I'll be honest, they probably influenced my view of love, of dating, and of romance. And so when Amy and I started dating, I would buy her flowers all the time. Because, you know, that's what they do in the movies, isn't it? You buy flowers. Now, it turns out that that wasn't such a bad influence after all. But you get the idea, don't you? The movies we watch, the films we watch, influence the way we think. Now, as the Bible tells us what we should think about, then we need to consider, how is the film I'm about to watch going to help me or hinder me about thinking such things? But what are these things that we are to think about? Well, in verse 8, there are 8 words that describe right thinking. True, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. We're going to spend most of our time this morning looking at each of those words, and then we'll draw to a close by looking at the outcome of right thinking. So that's what we're going to do this morning, and I trust that we'll find it useful as we seek to stand firm in the Lord. You see, that's what Paul urges us to do in the first verse of this chapter. So verse 8, right thinking. First up, we are to spend our time thinking about whatever is true. Think about the facts, those things that are real, the plain truth, not lies that are false or fake. When you seek real news and not fake news. Now, when it comes to films, this doesn't actually mean it's a matter of fiction versus non-fiction. It's not about choosing between watching true stories or made-up stories. But it's about thinking, does this film present a worldview that is right? Will the film we watch help us to think true things about the world that we live in? Or is it going to promote lies and false things and thinking? Now, I appreciate, as I was sitting to write this, that this will depend hugely on the type of films we're watching as to exactly how we apply this. So, at this point, as far as I'm aware, we don't live on spaceships, and we don't regularly interact with aliens. So movies like that, where the whole world is entirely fictitious and made up, we might allow more room for the imagination. But if we watch a film which is set in something closer to our reality, then we need to seek out films that will help us to think about the world from a true perspective. Of course, the true perspective is God's perspective, for we know that God is truth. There's nothing more real, no one truer than God. We know what Jesus said about truth. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And yet, sadly, in far too many films, any thought of Jesus, any idea of God has been airbrushed out. In the imaginations of many film producers, the creator of the world is excluded from the world that he has created. Now, if we are constantly watching films where any thought of God has been airbrushed out, well, it won't take long for us to airbrush God out of our own thinking. So instead of having our thoughts on whatever is true, our thoughts will be on whatever lies the films are spreading. Some films will make some reference to God. It might be wrong, but in some way they may give a nod towards God. I remember watching a scene in Forrest Gump where one of the characters rails against God, questioning his existence. That's one way where a film might make some reference to God. Probably most films will just ignore God entirely, with no direct reference to him. However, the storylines, the things that are celebrated, there's no reference to him. And we'll see a little bit later exactly what some of those might be. And then, of course, there are some films that just openly mock God and his ways. And they call the truth lies, and lies the truth. Those films we just need to stay away from. Films that promote truth over lies, godly thinking over earthly thinking, are the ones that will help us to stand firm in the Lord. We might have some job-seeking out films like that, but they're the ones that will do us good. Next in the list is noble, things that are honorable, things that are venerable, essentially things that are worth thinking about. Now, this is an interesting one when it comes to films. It is for me personally anyway, and maybe what I'm about to say is just a reflection on me. But how often do you think, you know what, I want to really stretch my mind. I want to think important things. I know what, I'm going to sit down and watch a film. Maybe it's just me, but more often than not, I watch films for the very opposite reason. To avoid thinking deep thoughts. To escape into an imaginary world. To not have to think too hard at all. But that's just a reflection on me. And maybe if that's something that you do identify with, the question is what films should you watch? But how many films should I watch? If we spend all our time watching frivolous films that don't make us think, but it will lead to us becoming frivolous in our own thinking. I wonder if you've got that friend who has a film quote for every situation. I've got a friend like that back in South Africa. I don't know how he does it. Every film he watches, he seems to remember, like word for word, what he never said. And in conversations, these quotes come out all the time. Now, he watches a wide range of films, but if all he ever watched was frivolous films, it would affect his conversation, wouldn't it? If we spend our whole time thinking about nonsense, watching nonsense, think nonsense too. If we watch films that have no substance, then we will have conversations and thoughts of no substance. Now, of course, there are plenty of films that can make us think. And this isn't, again, truth or fact or fiction type things. There are made-up stories that pick up real issues and deal with them. So if when coming to choose a film, we can choose a film that is actually going to make us think about a real issue, if we can deal with noble things, then they can help us to think in the right way. We may not agree with everything. In fact, we won't agree with everything in nearly every film we watch. But they can help us to think deep thoughts. Thoughts that can even take us to thinking about God's perspective on a situation. Now, at this point, I'm probably going to give away the fact that I just haven't really watched that many films recently, because all my references are going to be to films that are a little bit dated. Who knows the film Invictus? If you're South African or have any interest in South Africa, you will know it and you will love it. It's when South Africa won the Rugby World Cup. But actually, it's a story that picks up Nelson Mandela's story, and it deals with some very serious issues of apartheid and racism. And you don't have to think too hard at the minute to see that racism and thoughts like that are not far from people's minds. Just look at the news media at the minute. But understanding the world from God's perspective changes our views. You see, when we know that all people are created in the image of God, male and female, he created them, as Genesis 2:27 says. Well, it does make us realize that there's no room for racism in the world, is there? Let's just call it what it is, it's sin. And if we watch films that pick up topics like that, that can get us to think deep thought, that can get us to think God's way about the world, well, that is going to help us to stand firm in the world, and stand firm in the Lord. Those are the kind of films we should be watching. The third up, we should be watching films that make us think about whatever is right.
The word righteous has the sense of approved by God or just in the eyes of God. Think about whatever things God approves of. The question we can ask when we come to a film is this: would God approve of the way of thinking being presented in this film? This is similar to truth, but it has more of a moral feel to it. If truth is about facts, this is about justice, about right and wrong. Are the characters in the story being treated according to God's justice or some other measure? Now, it's quite interesting, isn't it, that if you watch a crime drama, very often the type of justice is very closely aligned with God's justice. Criminals are caught and they are punished. However, when it comes to morals within relationships, Well, anything goes, doesn't it? Relationships that are clearly against God's good design are treated as perfectly normal and even celebrated. Should we be watching films that do that? On this one, I do want to take a slight diversion from films and just talk about news media. Whether we read the printed press or online or through the radio. You see, the news that we read isn't neutral. It's presented from a moral standpoint of the broadcasting organization. We get their version of right and wrong. If you read the same source of media all the time and you read it carefully, you will notice this. They're constantly making decisions about what they will publish. They decide, what are we going to celebrate? What are the news stories we're going to ignore? And what are those news stories that we're going to criticize? So if the news is a big input into your thinking, we need to think biblically about the things we read and hear. In this day and age, we simply can't trust the media to present the news from a godly worldview, from God's perspective. In fact, there's a case to be said that, in fact, we can expect the opposite. So it's down to us to think carefully through the things that we're reading. And we need to ensure that our moral compass is not dictated to by the world around us, but by God through his word. You see, God is right and just and true. And we need to think his way in his world. Films that have a godly moral compass, they're the films that will help us to stand firm in the Lord. Next up is pure, holy, uncontaminated by sin. Now, this is a key one, and I think it might have the biggest impact on the films that we choose to watch. Because when we ask this question, is the film uncontaminated by sin? I think that more often than not, the answer is no. A significant number of films are indeed contaminated by sin. I'd probably go as far as to say that the majority of things that people watch are contaminated by sin. Now, the easiest way to describe what is pure is to point out the things that could make it impure, the things that can contaminate. So what are the kind of things that can make a film impure? What will strike them off the list of things we should watch? I've come up with three questions which I think will be helpful. I think they should hit the main questions, the main issues. So the first one is this. Are the actors sinning for our entertainment? Do the actors have to commit sin to make the film? Are the actors doing something in front of the camera that is in and of itself sinful? Two people having sex in front of a camera for our entertainment is an example. And this puts a massive big red line through any pornography for a number of reasons. We cannot sit and watch sin being committed for our entertainment. It will not lead us to stand firm in the Lord. It will lead us away from him, and we must flee from it. The next question then we ask is, will it lead me to sin? Now here we need to be quite honest with ourselves. And in truth, this will mean that for some people can watch certain things that other people can't watch. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's a bit of a gender divide on this one. So I'm a guy, so I can speak more personally to guys at this particular point in time, but we need to be honest with ourselves, guys. I remember some time ago realizing that as much as I was watching a TV series for the storylines, which I was enjoying, actually, you know what, I was finding some of the female characters just a little bit too appealing. Convicted of that, I was enabled by the Lord to stop watching that series. It was leading me to have sinful thoughts. You see, we need to be prepared to switch off. We need to be prepared to get up and walk out of the cinema if that's what it takes to stop us from sinning. That could be hard. I mean, if you've gone out with a group of friends and you all of a sudden realize that this film is making me think really bad things, and you think, you know what, I really need to get up and walk out. You need to do it. You need to ask God to help you do it, but you need to do it. Jesus was pretty radical when it comes to dealing with sin. In Matthew chapter 5, 28, he says this, "But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of the body than for the whole body to be thrown into hell." Now, this is not a literal instruction, but it does speak of the seriousness of sin. And let's be honest, the film industry knows that sex sells. And so we need to be alert to that. And the good thing is, to stop watching a film, you don't have to gouge your eye out. You can just turn it off. You can just walk out. And I've said that might be hard, but if we're serious about sin, and we ought to be, then we need to be prepared to make those difficult decisions. Now, the third question about checking the purity of a film is, does it celebrate sin? Is sin being glorified? Is what God calls wrong being celebrated as right and treated as normal? Now, we just need to accept that when we watch a film, the world that it will be set in will be a sinful world, because the world we live in is a sinful world. So there will be inappropriate things happening, there will be wrong things happening. That would be necessary to present the world as it is, because there are wrong things happening in the world. So it's not that, but it's, does the film actively celebrate and hold up as good those things that God condemns? Has it picked a subject where you go, God is so clear on this, and this is, the main character is being heralded as a hero because they're doing something which goes against God's good design for life? We probably have to put a bit of thought into this, because we just need to be clear about how it might impact on our thinking. But that's one worth continuing to think over, how we decide what we should or shouldn't watch on that basis. Now, on this issue of films being pure, it takes us back to something we looked at a few weeks ago in Colossians. In Colossians 3:17, we looked at doing everything with thankfulness. And Drew posed this really helpful question. He said, can I thank God for this action, word, or thought? Can I say thank you to God at the end? Now, that's a good question to apply to a film, isn't it? Can we say thank you, God, at the end of what we've watched? We can never say thank you to God for enjoying sin, for indulging in sin, for laughing at sin. We can't thank God while we celebrate sin. Films that are contaminated by sin will contaminate our thinking, and so we need to stay away from them. Now, there's a TV series that's just finished, and I do want to make a comment on it. It's called Love Island. I may be commenting from a position of complete ignorance, because I've never watched it, and I never intend to watch it either. But there were a few news articles that came up on the BBC News app about this show. And the brief intro on it says, Caroline Flack hosts the show with a cast of hot young singles who have come looking for a summer of love and romance in Mallorca. The winning couple will leave the island with £50,000. Now, let's be clear, the actual intent of the show, and having read some of the news articles that relate to it, is that you put a bunch of single people on an island, you hope they get together, and you hope they have sex. That is the premise, okay? We cannot thank God for that, or any shows that are like that. It is just not acceptable. We need to seek films, TV, movies that are pure, because pure films will lead to pure thinking. Moving on then, whatever is lovely, think about things that are lovable. And in the context of Philippians, it seems that what this is directing our thoughts towards other people. Think about other people. Think about things that will motivate us to express love towards one another. One of the themes in chapter 4 of Philippians is Paul's desire for the Philippians to love each other. There were some disputes within the church, and his desire was that they would think about and make love towards one another. Now, can a film stir us to such love? I might be stretching a bit here, but maybe you watch a film where it reminds you of a friend, and that helps you to treasure what you have. Maybe you watch a film where someone suffers a loss, and it can remind you either of what you have, the people you have, you can treasure them more, or maybe it might just remind you about someone else who has suffered a loss, a brother or sister. You haven't thought about it for a while, but you could give them a Bob Brown routine, which you could draw alongside and comfort. There are films that will inspire us to want to do things for other people. There are also films that will do the very opposite. Films that can promote hateful feelings to others. Films that will make us more self-centered rather than other people focused. As I was thinking about it, I actually thought it's really interesting in romantic comedies, a genre which I haven't put too much experience in, that one of the things about them is actually the lead characters are very, very often self-centered. And if someone treats you badly, the response is never kind, gracious, and loving. It is to get the knives out. It is to be horrid to the other person. So even films that seem all fluffy and cuddly on the outside can actually have a very subtle message, which is distinct and helpful, and won't help us to think of other people, because in the end, those films are very me-centered on the main character. It's all about them, their fulfillment, their satisfaction, their happiness. We should be watching films that will help us to think good things towards other people. The next word is admirable, and this one's a little tricky. It's closely linked, and this is a kind of, it talks about the love for other people that are at a distance. So for instance, Paul's love for the Philippians. We know that Paul was in jail writing to the Philippians. He was absent, but he had this love, this care, this concern for them. I don't really know if there's many films that might make us think in that direction. And maybe if you watch a film about another country, that might do it, but I'm not sure. One thing I know will is reading prayer letters and mission newsletters. As we think about brothers and sisters in different parts of the world, and we can think about them, pray for them, have a concern for them. Think about whatever is admirable. Now, the last two words, they come as a pair, whatever is excellent or praiseworthy. Excellence has this moral sense, moral excellence displayed to enrich life. So is what we see on our screens moral excellence? If that's the kind of stuff we're watching, it will enrich us. It will build our confidence in Christ. It will help us to stand firm in Him. If, on the other hand, what we watch is morally bankrupt, well, it's not going to help us to stand firm. It won't do us any good. Then can we praise God for what we're watching? When you get up from that comfy sofa, when we return to the real world, when the credits roll, is our immediate response to go, praise God for what I've just watched? Does that horror film lead you to praise God? Does that action adventure where half a city block has been blown up lead you to praise God? Does that cotton candy rom-com lead me to praise God? Does the crime drama lead me to praise God? What film, whatever films you most like, do they lead you to praise God? I think it's a pretty probing question, isn't it? And I think it might make us just think twice about what we switch on to, what we choose to watch. Now, I do want to just return to the question. Remember what the question was that we're looking at is, what film should I watch? As thinking Christians, what films should we be watching? I trust that by applying this passage in Philippians, we've seen that insofar as we're able, we should seek out films that will help us to think God's way, to think godly films, films that will lift our minds upwards. There are far too many films that will bring our minds down to the gutter. We need to look for films that will lift our minds upwards, films that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, excellent, admirable, and praiseworthy. You might say, but there's no films like that that I can watch. If that's your conclusion, I'm kind of okay with that as long as I've been faithful to the passage. But I think the truth is we can assess every film against that standard, can't we? There are many films and loads and loads and loads and loads of online content that are simply no-go areas for us as Christians. Those questions that we looked at under pure will help us identify that content. Am I just watching sin, pure and simply, in front of my eyes? Is watching this going to lead me to sin? Is sin being celebrated? There are a large number of films that we can watch that are pretty much going to have marginal or no spiritual benefit to us. But they may not do us too much harm either, as long as we're thinking about them carefully as we watch them. And there will be a few that are really helpful, that will help us to think God's way. Those films that will even help us to know God's presence with us. You see, the more our thoughts are brought in line with God's thoughts, the more we will know His presence. You see, that's the promise at the end of verse 9. I'm going to just take a moment to look at that as we draw to a close. And the God of peace will be with you. You'll notice I have skipped out a little section. So what we had is how to think, and then Paul encourages the Philippians to behave in a way which is consistent with that thinking. We haven't had time to look at that this morning. But then there's the promise that the God of peace will be with you. You see, when we watch a film that directs our thoughts Godward, then we're going to be thinking about God. We're going to know God's presence with us. When we're watching films that are frivolous, films that hardly make us think at all, well, they're not going to benefit us spiritually. But if we choose to go and watch those films that are impure, we should know guilt. We should know a sense of distance from God. We won't know His nearness when we're indulging and enjoying sin. Sin separates us from God. And even though as Christians we are right before God, our sin will still disrupt our relationship with Him. Now, one last thing as we close, and this is really important. Maybe as you've been sitting here, you're thinking, if only you knew what was on my screen last night. If only you knew the films I've watched this week or in my lifetime. If you could see my DVD collection. If you'd seen the stuff I've watched online. From what you've just said, you wouldn't think I'm a Christian at all. Maybe at the moment you're sitting here feeling, you know, I feel a little bit guilty about enjoying some of those films I've watched. I expect that this morning may have been quite challenging for many of us. I also expect that it might mean for some of us thinking, you know, this might actually have a significant change on the things I choose to watch, the things I click on, the things I download, the things I watch. But I want us to take comfort in these words, and they're from earlier in the letter. In talking about God, Paul writes this, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ." Brothers and sisters, God is at work in us. If you're a Christian here this morning, don't be discouraged. God is at work in you. Where we have strayed, let's repent. Let's turn back to God, and let's ask him to continue to work in us, bringing to completion the work that he has started. We know that God is faithful. We know that he will do it. You see, it is God who has both the power to forgive us and the power to change us. It's only he who can help us and give us the strength to stand firm in the Lord. Let's pray and ask God to help us to do just that. Father in heaven, our desire is for you. Our hearts long for you. But Father, we know how often we stray from you. How often we fill our minds and our thoughts with things that are impure. How often we fill our minds and thoughts with things that are frivolous. How often we fill our minds with things that do not make us remember and think about you. But Father, we thank you that it does not depend on our thoughts and our thinking, but on Jesus Christ, the one who died to rescue us, to save us, to live faithfully. Father, where we have erred, where we have sinned, would you forgive us? We thank you for the promises in your word that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just and purify us from all unrighteousness. But we thank you that we can know that purification, that we can know that forgiveness, even in this area of God where many of us have erred in many things. Now, Father, we thank you that when you forgive us, you put the past behind us. And we set the past behind us and we look forward to. And Father, we know that we live the future in the strength of you to us, your spirit that so powerfully works within us. So Father, we pray that where we need to change, where we need to have our desires changed, Lord, we can continue to work with us. Bring to completion that which you have begun in us. Father, we pray this